good afternoon and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Laurent Landis and the late Patty Fink, who was almost late, but you made it by the theme song.
I did. Absolutely.
Our guest is, it was supposed to be Eddie Bernice Johnson, was supposed to be on for a short time talking to us about getting out the vote, but we have somebody who's equally well-versed in political affairs. Hi, Leslie. How are you?
I don't know anything about political affairs.
Oh, okay. That's right.
But you know about affairs, right?
I've had sordid affairs.
Oh, okay. well, the way our election is going, that's a sordid affair.
I wouldn't know a yellow dog Democrat from a Republican. I'm just fighting to keep my head above the water. Sitting out in the rain in Hollywood, California.
Oh, is it raining out there? Our guest is Leslie Jordan. He's going to be in town on November 12th at the Majestic Theater at 8 p.m. Tickets are just $25. Go online to legacycounseling.org, is it?
That's right. It's to benefit Legacy Counseling, which is a wonderful organization. I'm a gay man who buried an entire phone directory in the 1980s to AIDS, and so it's part of my ministry. So, but more than that, it's going to be just a hell of a good time.
You know, and some people... Leslie, I was going to say, some people come in, they do a benefit once, and they never think about the place again. You have been back to help Legacy time and time and time again, and I want to thank you for that.
Well, you're more than welcome. I'm up to about 44 venues a year. You know, when I won that Emmy for Will and Grace, see how I got that in right off the bat? It gave me a platform. Mm-hmm. Of such, and then you have to make the decision, am I going to give or am I going to take? And those Kardashians, anyway, we won't go into that, but you've got a platform. And but it actually reached a point that my management said to me, Leslie, you've got to learn to say no. You cannot do all this, you know, you physically can't do it,
right?
So we sat down and made a list of three that I'd never say no to. Legacy wasn't on the list.
No.
I'll never say no to Legacy. But at that, I was so high-minded at that time, I said, well, I can't say no to the HRC, you know, which does so much work for us politically,
sure.
The gay community, and I can't say no to Trevor Project.
Sure, absolutely.
That's another great one.
We plugged in many, many years ago. It's a suicidal hotline for... GLBTIAPQU, whatever his name.
The queers.
So much trouble. The queers. No one can't say queer. That's what I found out in Miami. They said to me, Mr. Jordan, you're dropping. It's LGBTQ. And I said, question it. They said, questioning queer. I said, honey, we covered it. Listen, I always get in trouble. I say, in my day, it was just GLBT. I don't know when the lesbians took over, but they did a pretty good job.
It was a while ago, and we got the memo that G couldn't go first.
That's so, right.
That's right.
Especially nasty
it's
women
L-D-B.
Like me.
Right.
We want it first.
Then you love Elizabeth Warren, but nasty women go, I'm going to take their nasty feet to the polls. Nasty this. So get rid of that nasty man for good. But anyway, let's go. Even fear there. Lord God help us all. But yeah, I'm coming. I've got a show called Straight Out of Chattanooga.
That's perfect.
I'm standing right now. I live in Tupac's apartment. I found out many years ago. I knew he lived in the building, and this girl upstairs kept saying, he lived in my apartment, I get his mail. I said, bitch, you don't get his mail. No, I went to the post office, and I asked them. They said, no, it's 107. So I wrote a show, I wrote a program about it. And you're going to get it full blast at the...
I'm sure we are.
Yeah. I'm almost at Memorial Auditorium. That's Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Yeah, no, the Majestic Theater.
Majestic Theater.
Which is gorgeous theater.
What else you want to ask me?
Well, Leslie, how long have you lived in L.A. now?
It's 33 years. In 1982,
oh, wow.
I took a bus. I had a $1,200 that Mama sewed my underpants. I had a...
In the front or the back of your underpants?
Right in the front, right on the side. I had $1,200 sewed in there. And I had a dream. And people think, oh, it was show business. No, it had nothing to do with show business. I've been baptized 14 times. And, every time the preacher would say, come forward, lost sinner, I'd think to myself, I wish I'd been with Hollywood. That wouldn't happen to me. No, I made that part up. But I would go forward. You know, you just couldn't. We dunk. We don't sprinkle, honey. We dunk. And we dunk three times. Name of the Father, the Son, the Holy. And the preacher would say, son, I baptized you at the revival. I said, I'm not sure it took. When I got to Hollywood, I wandered and found West Hollywood. And that was my home. You know, and it's been my home for about 33 years now, and it's been going along real nice. Like, you know, I've done very well, and part of my ministry is because in 1982 we were a city in crisis, and you know, the best book about it is in the band Played On.
Sure.
Because it's just the band Played On. You know, it was like a sinking ship. It was like the Titanic. We were out every night. And then we would go to memorial services, and we would mark people's names out and move on and do the best we can. And, you know, I was there at the founding of everything from the APLA to the AIDS Project Los Angeles to the we used to cook down right. I can see it from here, Fairfax and Fountain, and cook for the Project Angel Food. Oh, this is fancy now. I won't talk to them. But anyway, no. We, you know, it just grows big in corporate, and they don't need... You know, I went all the way down to San Diego last week for them to honor me as my dear friend, they have Stepping Stoner, Crystal Meth Recovery Home. I said, honor is a nice way to say, come down here and give us a free show is what you want. So I made them give me a $1,000 honorarium, and I stole the five ices out of the dressing room, brought them home with me, and they called you and you need to send those flower vases back. You asked me to come all the way down there and help you because I'm a recovering alcoholic of over 20 years. And in one room that I can't talk about, we're supposed to talk about alcohol only. That's one room. But we, you know, we were all doing crystal meth. We would, you know, that's what we did. And so I started... Bill Coffey said to me one day, when you talk like that, these alcoholics, it's shameful the way you talk about masturbating to porno and for 6 days on end. You ought to come up here with us to the Tuesday night meeting where the crystal meth addicts get together. I said, okay, I'll come up there. And we started it. We started Crystal Meth Anonymous. There were 12 of us. And that was part of my ministry. What else do you want to know?
I was going to ask you, you know, you were here about a year ago, and so we got caught up to date with what you'd been doing. Surely you've had some interesting adventures since then in the last month or two.
Well, you know, I had sex with Lady Gaga.
Mm-hmm.
She made me have sex with her. There was the American Horror Story. I asked me back.
Cricket, we love you.
Cricket, named after my sister.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
A twin. They're sister and twin. They don't have names. One's Janet. I can't remember that other one. They called her Cricket, but they named it after my twin sister, Cricket. Mm-hmm. And there's rumors I could get an Emmy nomination. I said, what category? They said, well, it'd be the best guest star in a drama. I already won one of those. I won the best guest star in a comedy. They don't even give it out at the Emmys. It's just me and Kathy Griffin. Old people there.
Yeah, but afterwards it still counts.
Well, I guess, but then, you know, I won't go to the Emmys. I want to win when everybody see me. You know, I don't want Penn and Teller up there in Bravo. I won't beat the real one. But anyway. It's all... It's going to all be good.
Well, but repeating his best guest star in a drama, maybe that makes him the person who's won best guest star in a drama the most amount of times.
Who is that? I'm saying you.
I don't know.
Oh, well, not me. Probably somebody. Ellen Burstyn got nominated for 3 seconds. Oh, 3 seconds. That shows you how rigged it is. Because you get, you know, when you were little and they give you those tests and you had to put the black, fill in the black dot of the long thing, you get a list. It's about, you know, I'd say 1,000 pages, mm-hmm. little tiny names. What are you going to do? Just going to say, oh, I know her. I know that one. And you mark it. And then they get committees to look at them, but it's always same old people. You know, it's the same old people. And,
gotcha.
But I've got my speech ready if I win.
Would you like to try it out on us?
Yes. Thank y'all so much. I suppose you think that that I work all the time, but I haven't had a steady job since 1992. So for you producers who are wondering where I've been, I'm circling the block, bitch, As I speak, I'm circling the block, and I got 2 Emmys in hand, and I get to crash in.
Well, Leslie, you mentioned rigged, so there's a lot of people think that this election is rigged. Have you voted?
Uh-huh. Not yet. I'm going to vote. I'm going to go over here to the Rogers Guild and vote. I'm going to vote for Hillary Clinton.
Woo! Woo!
And
she's a nasty woman, too.
She is, and, you know, I was around, and she's been president twice already. Don't ever forget that. I heard that from a friend of mine works in the Secret Service. He knows Hillary. And, you know, Bill Clinton, Harry Bloodworth Thomason, I mean, Linda Bloodworth Thomason and Harry Thomason pretty much put the Clintons in the White House with that Hollywood money. And I was on Hearts of Fire, and the phone would ring, and they'd holler, Harry Bill's on too, and I burst into tears. I couldn't stand it. I thought he's talking to the President of the United States of America. I don't think they teach civics in school anymore. I really don't.
Oh, I agree with you there.
And let me tell you something else that I'll just say right out loud. My hometown of Chattanooga, Tennessee, I don't know why nobody brought this up. It's Coca-Cola money, and there's Coca-Cola jets lined up. About 24 years ago, we're sitting right out there at Lovell Field. My mother's one figured out. It was Trump jet. You at Lovell Field.
Mm-hmm.
He was screwing. Can you say screwing?
I think so.
Well, get ready to blare it out. He was screwing Marla Maples when he was married to the mother of his 4 children. The jet would pull in, and they'd run right there, he'd screw, and then leave. And,
I like to say that he's got 5 kids by 3 different baby mamas.
Exactly. And,
yep.
You know, she has to do is if he says, your husband's a philanthropist, she says, that's nobody's business. For me and God, I made a vow. I kept mine. Have you kept yours? Have you ever committed adultery? You know what? They've got bombs. You wait and see. Something's going to come out just days before. You know, over the years, something, Howard Stern, he has said something and never released bombs.
Oh, sure.
Of things. Things that he says. There's only 3 people on this planet that I can't bear to look at. This is crazy. I've never said this out loud to anybody. Donald Trump, I couldn't bear to look at him even in the 80s. I couldn't bear to look at him. He reminded me of every bully that's ever come after me. And the second one I couldn't bear to look at was Prince. Isn't that terrible? Because I had so much internal shame about being a feminist. And I don't think he was gay at all, but, you know, I wish y'all could see my face. I do those fierce, leaky lips, act sexy faces, and think, on whose planet does anybody think that's sexy? Anybody? And the third one that I could not bear to look at was poor little Michael Jackson. Packed on his face.
That made me sad, too.
We all do. We all knew in the community that he, little gay boy, and poor bless his heart, a little pedophile, and carrying on, and didn't want to be a woman. And I was pretty sure that he and LaToya were the same person. I'm still hanging on to that. And then, anyway, what else y'all need to know?
What do we need to, This is what I love about interviewing Leslie. You never know where this is going or even what to ask. Give us a little preview of your show that's coming up. It's going to be, let me just give that again, at the Majestic Theater on November 12th. Tickets are $25 if you use the promo code that's on the Legacy Counseling website. So November 12th, it's a Saturday night, 8 p.m., and we want to sell it out again. Last year it sold out, but that's because it was Joe's 60th birthday. It's not selling as well for his 61st, so I suggested that we celebrate his 65th this week, this year.
Perfect.
Who says you have to do them in order?
He's 60 plus tax and deposit. He's 60 like with that. A little shipping and handling. I was in on the whole thing. He's 93.
I know he's listening. So, Joe, I didn't.
First time I ever laid eyes on him was that. Was at that little restaurant sits there. Oh, it's in the gay district, Pachetti, not Pachetti, something. Little tiny, wonderful restaurant by the Green Papaya. And it used to be a Mexican restaurant.
Oh, okay. And walks, it's gone.
You know that little place? It's just
yeah.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in walks this queen with a mink to the floor, a mink coat to the floor. And I burst out laughing. I said, you can't be real. And dripping all those diamonds are real. He's a diamond dealer.
Sure.
He's got that ass and pulls one. He's a horse trader. He goes out there and pulls it over on the rich women. I mean, they're real diamonds. But who would wear a mink coat to the floor?
Especially in Dallas, Texas. There's only like 2 days a year you can wear it.
Where would you ever wear a mink coat to the floor? I busted laughing right in his face. I couldn't help it. We've been best friends ever since. He says, I've met you. I said, no, you haven't. I've never laid eyes on you. He said, I met you at the Friendly House Luncheon at the Mercedes dealership in Beverly Hills. I said, I was an imposter. I've never laid eyes on you. I would remember. I got to go. I don't feel good. I love y'all so much.
Right. Leslie, we want to thank you for being with us.
We're looking forward to seeing you.
And we'll see you in a few weeks.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. And you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON-FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Ron Landis and the late Patty Fink. And as soon as I cue this, we'll be back with more right after this.
I'm Dallas City Councilman Adam Medrano, and you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3
KNON-FM. And we're back.
All Lambda Weekly.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on KNON 89.3 FM.
And I'm Laurent Landis. That was Patty Fink. And David Teffet is also here. He's lining up our next guest. But before we get her on the line, I just wanted to ask Patty, and I know the answer to this. Did you early vote?
No.
You always vote on the day of, right?
I always vote on election day because I'm an election judge.
That's
and
right.
I'm in my precinct, so I always take a moment, vote myself, you know, and then continue working. But I like that. I like that. Although one year I was, you know, the Democratic Party in Dallas has a big event right before early voting every year. And so one year I was walking to my car after the event with a couple of people, and they said, are you going to early vote? Because it kind of kicks off early voting, right? And I said, no, I always vote on election day. And they said, but what if you die? And they were serious.
Well, and that's where I thought about you last week, because one of the judges that I work for a law firm, and one of the judges that I work for said, yeah, I'm early voting because I might die.
Oh, my God. Okay, so here's the question. Is that vote legal if he's dead on election day?
Sure.
Oh, okay. Of course.
You recast your vote.
Yep.
Absolutely. Actually, some really interesting times with a voter in my precinct, and I was out of town, and someone called and said, how do I get the ballot for this man? He's in hospice at home, and he's afraid he's not going to be able to vote before election day. And I told him how to get to apply for a mail-in ballot and such, and it came, and he voted, and they mailed it back in, and he died 3 days later.
Wow.
So, it happens.
It happens, yeah.
Definitely.
So, yeah, we early voted. First day, line was long. I was not expecting it to be that long.
Where I voted, apparently voting, I vote on at the Grauweiler Recreation Center on Harry Hines, and they said voting at that precinct has been extremely heavy, but there was no line. It was just a steady flow of people.
No, wait, there was a line.
You know, Erin works for the county, and she's been reporting to me every day. Another blowout day of early voters. The count today, yesterday, was 55,000.
Well, early voting 40, is up from last presidential election in Dallas County by about 20%, something like that.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's up. It's been very strong. What are some tips that you have for us as an election judge? Melissa's going to be back with us in a few minutes. She'll give us a call back.
Well, it's a little different this year in terms of the voter ID law. So the law is still in place. It's been loosened a little bit by federal judge, and in the process of perhaps turning it, ruling against it. If you have a voter ID according to the rules from the past elections in recent years, then you need to bring it. You need to bring that documentation. If you've not been able to obtain one of those IDs, you can still come to the polls with other documents. You can have your voter registration certificate, your birth certificate.
Or what about a bill?
A utility bill, something in your name with your address. It must have an address on it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, your birth certificate doesn't, but all the other forms you can.
Neither does a passport. I mean, it does, but it could be from 10 years ago.
Sure, but that's on list A. That's the list A that comes from with the law as it was before the ruling from the federal court. So you can have list A or list B, and list B has a number of different things. So there's really an opportunity to vote. If you've not been able to obtain one of those IDs, you can vote in this election, and all you have to do is just sign an affidavit that you had a reasonable impediment. Nobody can question your reasonable impediment. They can't question that you had one or that it was reasonable. So you just, sign your affidavit and move on to vote.
Right.
And so voting takes a few minutes once you start getting, you have to get up to the qualification table. They qualify you as a voter. You obtain your ballot, whether it's electronic or paper. On election day in Dallas County, it's paper. And then, you just proceed with the act of voting,
yep,
marking your ballot, and then you turn in your ballot, make sure you've got it just the way you want it before you turn it in, and it's done. And at my precinct, we'll have I voted stickers.
Oh, cool. we didn't have any.
It's amazing and shocking to me how many adults get really bent about the I voted stickers.
That's been a big controversy this time because they don't have them.
I print my own, and I bring them, and I have ample supplies, and people love coming, and they're like, oh, well, I need a sticker. It's like, well, it doesn't even count. It's like when I have my little Fitbit. If I don't have my Fitbit on, it's like, what's the point of walking? I'm not getting credit for it, right? So,
and another thing, we get there, and we bring our reel with us. And I wanted to take a picture, so we did. But Danny said, you can't take that inside. I go, why not? Because you can't take it inside. So sure enough, and she's right there when we're voting. The next day, Justin Timberlake gets in trouble because he
actually
took
the Texas law is kind of ambiguous.
It's up to the election judge.
It did say before we went in, it said no cell phones. Or any.
If you're talking on your cell phone in my polling location,
yeah,
I will shut you down.
She's tough.
She's worked with me before.
So the law is just not across the board about cell phones.
Nope. Yeah, it's kind of a patchwork around the country.
Well, check that out before you go in.
We have on the phone with us Melissa Grove from Legacy Counseling Center. How are you, Melissa?
Hey, Melissa.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're good. So we just had Leslie Jordan on. Leslie is going to be here on November 12th, once again, supporting Legacy. He did tell us that his manager made him narrow it down to just three agencies that he can continue helping regularly. You're not one of them.
I know, but he still keeps coming.
But he keeps coming.
I can talk people into anything, right?
Yeah, he's a good person.
Yes, he is. He is. He does a wonderful show. Everybody always just has a ball every time he comes.
Mm-hmm.
totally fun.
It is. So that, give us what's new at Legacy. You haven't been over to the studio in a while.
Oh, wow. We have so many exciting things. Well, I think everybody's been hearing a lot about homelessness in the newspaper, all the homelessness in Dallas and in North Texas. One of the really exciting things that we've done at Legacy is our goal is to expand housing for people living with HIV. So we figure there's not very many options if you're positive, exclusively for positive people. There's Legacy Counseling Center's Founders Cottage if you're sick and dying. There's AIDS Services of Dallas with a three-year waiting list. There's My Second Chance if you're a woman in rehab, maybe a handful of HOPWA vouchers. But other than that, that's it.
So if you're just late like Patty.
Yes, that happens too. And then how many positive people do you think we have in Dallas County alone?
About 18,000.
18,000 to 20,000, that's right. Mm-hmm. And obviously housing is a huge need. Mm-hmm. So those little agencies were not going to be able to do it all. So we created homebaseforhousing.org. Anybody can use it. It's a wonderful website. It literally has every housing resource available to people in North Texas. Isn't that cool?
That's so cool.
Mm-hmm. And what's really fun about it is the Metro Dallas Homeless Alliance is now using our website to refer people to, because we've done such a great job capturing and bringing together all the resources. Super neat.
Yeah, one of the things that we're finding, I live in Oaklawn, and you used to be able to find all kinds of apartments at all kinds of prices, and one after another, houses are getting torn down, like to the point where there are almost no private houses in Oaklawn, and all of the older apartments are being torn down and replaced with things that are unaffordable. And I'm talking
about giant and unaffordable.
Giant, unaffordable, and poorly maintained. Let me add that. And so people are being forced out of the neighborhoods that they've been in. Where are you finding places for people?
Well, that's a great question. And you may have seen a recent Dallas Morning News article about how 1,000 housing vouchers that could be paying for housing are going unused. They just expired. The reason why is these landlords, they just don't want them. Because why? They can charge more rent if they don't use them, and also they don't have to jump through any hoops. So why would they use the vouchers? So to combat this, we actually just got a grant to hire a person who's going to work 10 hours a week. We just got him started, Johnny Lewis, and what he does is he goes out to these apartments one-on-one and meets with the landlord, gets them to accept the vouchers, talks to them, finds out if they do take it, explains the voucher program, helps them get enrolled. And basically the benefit of this is we're going to be expanding housing for people with HIV by trying to get more landlords on board by forming a relationship. So we're really excited about that as well. That's another new addition.
What type of vouchers? Are these just Section 8 vouchers, or is it
City of Dallas housing vouchers, HOPWA vouchers. Oh. Uh-huh. There's a few different programs that people can come into. It's very confusing, and so this is another great thing about Homebase. We have two staff members, Aretha Beckett and our new housing director, Lisa Rand. Any positive person can make an appointment at Legacy, come in, sit down one-on-one, and get a housing expert to really go over their whole scenario, all the different things about them, if they've had evictions, if they've got any criminal background, or just how much money they're making, how many children they have, if they have any pets, all these different things, if they're a veteran, and help them kind of fight through the mire of information and try to get to what will work. And then we will help them complete that paperwork, get it in, and really try to expedite the process.
You mentioned that those vouchers had expired, the ones that were never used. If one is used, how long is it good for?
I think it's about 3 months to find a place, but so many people just give up because they're really having such a difficult time. And, you know, all these programs, David, have so many intricacies. This is why it's great that we have the specialist at Homebase for Housing. Now, the website is really cool. Anybody listening right now, please log on, check it out. Homebaseforhousing.org. You can really learn a lot about housing. There's even a search feature where you can put your specific situation in and have a curated list of all the programs that could work for you.
And that would be people with HIV or not?
Or not, exactly.
Okay.
Well, we figure you know, if you are homeless, that's a precursor to becoming positive in many cases.
Mm-hmm.
There's a disproportionate amount of positive people who are homeless. And honestly, every day I'm getting a call on my phone up at the executive director's office. It's somebody living in their car. And, you know, it's very difficult to take your medications, stay stable in housing, stay stable with your medication and health care if you don't even have a place to live. What's great is they can come into the home base for housing, and then guess what? We can help them with the mental health and substance abuse issues as well.
That's fantastic.
You know, of course, most of my friends have criminal backgrounds. And
Obviously.
and seriously, you and I had talked about this a little bit. Actually, I am working with somebody who is getting out of prison, and one thing that he's sure of is he's not going to find a place to live. But you have found landlords that will. And tell me about, it's not going to be the best, but it's also going to be more affordable.
Well, the way we like to look at it is kind of a stepping stone. Yes, it may not be in the best neighborhood. You're not getting the Ritz-Carlton if you have 20 pages of evictions and background, you know. But it's a place to start. It's a place to rebuild, and we can help teach you how to rebuild your credit history and how to end up being a more stable person within the housing.
Does it get easier for somebody with a criminal background to rent once they've rented already?
Yeah, I mean, past history definitely can affect your ability to get a place. In fact, Aretha, our housing person, she found a guy who really did have many, many years of evictions, and he was really having a difficult time, and I couldn't believe it, but she just built a relationship with the landlord, and he was willing to do that. So that's very exciting. Mm.
Okay.
David, are you familiar with our master leasing program?
Well, I am, but tell us about it. Because some of my furniture is there.
Have you heard about that? Our master leasing program?
No.
Basically, we go to the shelters, and people who are in the shelters who are literally homeless, they can't just be staying on David's sofa. They have to be literally homeless, meaning shelter certified, or a case manager will stake their reputation that you're living behind a dumpster or out of your car or something like that. And basically, we've got 35 apartments for homeless people who are HIV positive, and we get them in, we case manage them to independence, and just last week we graduated 8 people to independence. They moved into their own place because we helped them find jobs and learn the skills they need to be successful.
How quickly did they graduate from being homeless to having a place to live through your program to graduating and going into their own place because they had a job and they could afford it?
Well, this year we've graduated 20% of the people who had entered the program to independence, which I think is really spectacular.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
You know,
that's really
people,
great.
Some people could be maybe 2 months, and some people could be, you know, a year or two to do whatever they have to do to get the job or the skills they need.
2 months is almost unbelievable. I mean, that's for somebody to go seriously from completely homeless to being able to afford a place to live.
Yeah.
You know, getting a job, you don't just go that day, get a job, and okay, I have my paycheck. There are delays in getting the check, and then you have some past stuff that you have to pay for. You have current needs that you're catching up on, like you might need a couple of clothes to wear to go to work. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff. So 2 months is amazing. I'm impressed with people who within a year are on their
feet. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, you know, some people, honestly, they just have a series of events, maybe a medical bill or something that has gotten to them to the point where they've lost where they're living.
Mm-hmm.
And they just need a little leg up. And that's really what we try to do is target people who have the best success possibility, people who are in the shelters who really are. This is not a, David, I think you know me. I don't sit around and eat bonbons all day. I'm busy.
I don't think I've ever seen you sit around and eat bonbons. Ever.
Yes, I. You know, if I'm going to be busy and working hard, that's what we really expect of our clients in master leasing. And they go to educational seminars. Our case manager, Gabby is just spectacular. She's kind of a cheerleader and a coach, and She's a drill sergeant and everything in one, and she really gets them inspired and motivated.
She's a drill sergeant. Look who we're talking to.
Yes, that's true. Listen, bossy women get things done, right?
That's right.
I think you're a nasty woman.
Well, this is why I'm such a Hillary fan, because I think, hey, if you want something done, let her do it.
That's right. Nasty women unite.
Exactly. She's going to take care of business.
And
very exciting.
We have another minute before we need to go to break.
You said that MDHA uses your website, and it's growing in popularity. For those who may be approaching the website and looking for housing, is there any indication when a shelter or program is LGBT inclusive?
Yes, that's a great question. And one of the very exciting things that we do at Legacy is we do our Housing 101 for nonprofit providers. And we do HIV 101 for the general social service providers. And basically what we try to do is teach some of that inclusivity. We just touch on it. We talk about HIV to decrease stigma. We talk about GLBT issues, LGBT issues. Sorry, I heard about that earlier. Don't want to get in trouble. Don't want to be cutting me down. But basically we really try to do our part to educate even the other HIV agencies, the other social service agencies. We have a lot of people who really just are poorly educated, and so they come to our class. This is just something I kind of do on the side for fun as part of Home Base for Housing, because I realized that was such a barrier to our clients that mm-hmm. we would all treat them with respect. They go to other places and be treated poorly. So I feel like we're really doing our part to decrease that.
That's fabulous.
But I'm very
so
excited
important.
About, I don't know if we're going to have a chance to talk about the event coming up, but I'd love to just have a minute to talk about that before we go.
Okay, why don't we take a break and stick with us for another minute. Just tell us a little bit more about the event. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. We'll be back right after this.
Hey, guys, I'm Stevie Kirby, and you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM.
And this is Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Laurent Landis and the late Patty Fink. And we're talking on the phone to Melissa Grove. She's the
incredible executive director.
The unbelievable.
Spectacular.
Former Kukling Award winner.
And Kukling Award winner.
Former fellow Kukling Award winner.
Not Melissa. Former. You're still a winner.
Yeah.
That's
Fellow Kukling Award winner, Melissa Grove. There's an event coming up November 12th. It's to support Legacy. Leslie Jordan is going to be at the Majestic Theater, 8 p.m. To get tickets, you just do what?
Legacy, I would go, the most fun way to go is LeslieJordanDallas.com. LeslieJordanDallas.com. And for KNON listeners, if you put 10 off with no space, 10OFF, you get $10 off all tickets. Tickets range from $25 with that code, and for the VIP tickets, you actually get to come up and hang out with Leslie before the show at our VIP party, open bar and appetizers.
And you know, one thing I can say is, you know what a mess he is on the air? He's worse in person.
Yes, people
he's a bigger mess.
The show says, our ad says Leslie Jordan Uncensored, because he's doing his show, but he's ramping it up a bit, so... This may not be the show to bring your mother to. That's what I'm going to say. This is going to be, he's doing a kind of extra special ramped up version for us because our folks can handle it, I think. And David, I also wanted to mention one other thing. This coming Wednesday, the 2nd, I don't know if any of you saw Real Housewives of Dallas, but guess what? We're going to be doing a positivity. This benefits our HIV positive women's program, and we do the largest conference in the world for women living with HIV right here in Dallas, Texas, in the buckle of the Bible Belt. How does that sound?
Perfect.
And,
that sounds great.
Yes, if you go to legacycares.org, that's Legacy's website, legacycares.org, you can buy tickets to that, and you get to meet Leanne Locken, Heidi Dillon, and Tiffany Hendra from the show. And they may be filming.
And you know, that reminds me, talking to Leslie, he said he hasn't worked regularly since 1993. I guess you're only a semi-regular on that show.
Yeah.
You were only on, what, four episodes, and then they talked about you on two
episodes.
Others.
But you know what? I think Melissa might qualify for the Emmy category for guest.
Oh, yeah.
Guest star.
Absolutely.
She might be competing against Leslie.
Well, no, because Leslie's male.
Oh, true.
Between the intimate family of our viewers on KNON's radio, I would, if you really want your shot at being on television, this Wednesday might be the time to do it, is all I'm going to say.
Because they might be filming.
It's going to be a tea. It's Wednesday, November 2nd. And what's really great about both Positivity and LeslieJordanDallas.com, both of the events, is they've all been 100% underwritten, and so basically 100% of your ticket goes straight to Legacy. So if you were thinking of making a donation, you might as well come along for a fun event. Why not?
That's the best, when you get to, you know, get to enjoy a great performance and enjoy great, celebrities all around you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and possibly being on TV. I think that's kind of fun, too. And then you can tell your friends you're on Real Housewives of Dallas.
It's Positivity TV.
And you know who needs to, you know who needs to be on Real Housewives is LaRon.
I think not.
I think LaRon, of all of us, he's the one who
he's got
I think,
a kid, you know.
Yeah.
Suburban housewife there. Anyway.
Hey, I've been throwing it around whenever I go check into a hotel. I'll say, you might recognize me from Real Housewives of Dallas. The upgrades I've gotten. The different hotels I've been visiting. I got an upgrade at the Cosmopolitan in Las Vegas because of that.
Wow.
I just throw it in everywhere I can, and if that doesn't work, I throw in the Kukling Award winner.
That's not going to work much outside LBJ.
Use what you got.
Melissa, I want to thank you for being with us.
Well, thanks for Melissa. Having us on, and if anybody wants more information about Legacy, they can call me at 214-520-6308, extension 302, and I would love to tell anybody who's interested about getting more involved. It really is a fantastic organization with amazing people. And thank you, guys. We sure appreciate you. Thanks for your support.
Sure.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Well, y'all have an amazing day.
You too. We'll see you at the Leslie performance.
Hey, it's beautiful weather. I think this global warming is going to work out after all.
Bye-bye, Melissa.
Bye.
And she's a character. I love Melissa.
She knows how to take you on.
So. Oh, yeah. So we have an election coming up a week from Tuesday. You can early vote until Friday?
Yes.
Or not next weekend?
Wait, I thought it was to the 5th, which is Saturday.
I'm sure our election judge will be able to check that for us.
I'm not in charge of your early voting. I'm in charge of my election day.
Right. I heard it was the 5th, which falls on a Saturday.
Okay, so you can vote Saturday, but not Sunday. And then if you haven't voted yet, you need to go to the polls on Tuesday. Okay. The polls are open till 9 on Tuesday for presidential, or is it just 7?
7. 7 a.m., 7 p.m. If you are in line at 7 p.m. at your polling location, you will be able to vote. You must be at least in line to vote at 7 p.m.
At 7. So if you get there a minute to 7... There's a line around the block. It might be another hour, but you can vote.
And if you're new to Dallas or if this is your first time voting, be sure to go to DallasCountyVotes.org and confirm your precinct and your polling location. In early voting, you can vote at
any
early voting.
Even if you've been here for a while, because precinct locations change.
They do.
They do.
They absolutely do. And if you think you're voting at, you know, such and such elementary school or whatever, it may not be the same this time. So be sure to confirm that, because I can't tell you how many people show up at the polls and to vote, and they're at the wrong location. And on election day, you can only vote where you are registered.
Right.
And you must be in that precinct, in that polling location.
If you've been in early voting, you can only vote in your county.
Well, yeah, it has to be in your county. But you have to be in your own precinct on election days.
And that is one thing. It gets confusing for people who live in Dallas, but they live on the Collin County or Denton County side of the line.
That's the case. Mm-hmm. I work with a few people in the exact same situation. Mm-hmm.
Do you know that Dallas is the second largest city in Collin County?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just part of the city of Dallas is right over the line.
That's right. It is.
So we've been following the Donald Trump saga. He's actually this week been pretty good, I think. No stupid statements. No new stupid statements.
Well, yeah. There have been a few.
Oh, okay. Then maybe I missed them.
You were on vacation.
I was. What new ones? I'm talking about new. I have the whole list here of things, but...
Well, I remember reading them through the week. I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I was in a week with our annual week-long meeting at work. So at my little breaks, I was checking news and stuff. And he said some stuff. I don't have it offhand. But I want to go back and point out that early voting in Dallas County ends November 4th.
Oh, so the Friday.
Friday's your last chance.
Okay. Yeah. Good.
Well, what do you think about the October surprise?
Which one?
Particularly with the new Hillary emails that the FBI is going to reopen an investigation on.
I think that is so incredibly bogus and inappropriate. And the Justice Department told the FBI director how incredibly inappropriate that was. It doesn't follow departmental policy at all for them to come out and say and deliver this letter to Congress. And the emails in question are not even to her or from her. So it doesn't even involve Hillary Clinton.
Well, they don't even know what it is because they don't have a search warrant to read these emails. They seized Anthony Weiner's computer. Anthony Weiner is the former representative from New York who's married to Uma Habedin, who is Hillary Clinton's top assistant. Formerly married to. I think they're just separated now.
Oh, I think they're split.
Are they divorced? I don't think the divorce is final.
I don't know if it's final, but they are split.
Yeah.
For sure.
They don't know what's in these emails. So to send a letter to Congress about something about Hillary has nothing to do with Anthony Weiner's. Where they're suspecting is that if he and his wife shared an email, who does that? How expensive is another email address?
I don't care what was going on in it. It doesn't matter to me. What kind of what's going on with him?
No, I'm saying
it has nothing to do with Hillary Clinton.
I don't know why they even expect that they're going to find Hillary Clinton emails from Hillary to Uma on his computer. People have you're married. Do you and Aaron share an email?
No.
Do you and Danny share an email?
Yes. Yes and no.
But they live in Garland.
No,
share an email.
We don't. We have one email we share only for school purposes with Gabrielle. That's it. But he has I have my own email.
Does Hillary send you on that email? No. She's asking for your advice.
But it doesn't matter what it was. If they have no reason to press charges. They haven't even done the friggin' investigation. But why tell Congress that when they, for millennia now, when we haven't been that old, but they say, well, we're not going to comment on any investigation. And so you don't even know if they're doing an investigation or not doing an investigation because they don't freaking comment on it. And this one was, let's smear her 11 days before the election, but not have any proof.
Right.
Not have anything at all. Not have anything. We're just going to smear right before the election.
Do you know, even when you say they won't even...
We don't even need the Russians.
They won't even...
Our own government's doing it.
When you say that they won't confirm that they're even doing an investigation, I remember when they went into John Wiley Price's office and they had the whole building closed off. And I went down just to see what was going on because they had announced that, on the news that it seems as though there was somebody at the door, and I said, well, is there anybody here who can talk about what they're looking for with John Wiley Price? You don't know that that's what we're doing here. Okay, maybe it's Aaron's office that they're looking for stuff.
That was pre-Aaron.
But I knew she'd be working there.
Yeah.
No, but they really don't comment, even when...
Yeah, it's obvious what they're doing.
When they're standing in his office, pulling his office apart.
So this is completely unprecedented. It's way, way, way out of the norm. like never done before. Mm-hmm. Weird, I mean, this is bizarre. And
but that kind of sums up this whole election. It was a lot of, or this whole past year, a lot of never things been done before. Like never giving a Supreme Court person a hearing, you know, stuff like that. So it's, I don't know. But the bigger question is, do you think this is actually going to actually influence people who's going to the ballot now?
I don't think so.
Now everybody has their mind made up one way or the other.
I think so, too. I think it's just, and even and Hillary said that during her press conference, that she thinks people have already made up their minds about whatever these email issues are, you know. But I think it's really smart of her to demand for them to put it on the table. If you're going to accuse us 11 days before the election,
right,
put every freaking thing you have on the table. Because you know what? It's just more nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They've had nothing for 30 years, and it's more nothing. And, you know, put it out there. Because I think the poor FBI director, I'm not going to say poor because this is his own action. He was told not to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he chose to do it. And his letter to his own employees more or less, you know, says,
I know somebody whose job is in jeopardy when some new person becomes president. You know how this election is rigged and the Democrats are doing such terrible things? Well, there have been some voting irregularities already. In Des Moines, police arrested a woman who voted twice. She's a registered Republican. They didn't say how she voted because who knows, but she is a registered Republican. But she voted twice because it's so rigged she had to.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously she did.
I think she did confirm who she voted for.
And that could be.
Yeah.
Speculation, though.
You know, but here's my question about the whole rigged. If Democrats were really rigging this or had the capacity,
right,
the capacity to rig, you know, 3,500 county elections in this country, why would we lose in the 2010 midterms when Obama was just getting going, you know?
Right.
Why would we lose the Senate and the House again in 2012, and then again in 2014.
Right.
And this is the Senate and the House that is against Obama has sat and done nothing, has barely worked, you know, maybe a month in the entire year, every year, for the last 8 years,
mm-hmm,
or 6 years. Then why? I mean, if it was so rigged, you know, it's just bizarre to me.
More rhetoric.
Okay, in Texas, a man was stalking an early polling place. It doesn't say where, but he was arrested on charges of electioneering and loitering near a polling place. We don't know who he was for. However, his T-shirt said Basket of Deplorables, and...
And that is another.
Oh, it was in Austin. I believe that was in Austin. If you see somebody walking around a polling place with open carry, not so much around a polling place, call the police. Just call 911. If you see somebody who is harassing people, they can hand you election literature more than 100 or 150 feet.
100 feet. They have to be 100 feet from the polling location.
And what about just wearing any type of logo supporting either?
Not supposed to, right?
Not supposed to. And, you know, I bring jackets from home to cover up people. Or they have to go to the restroom, and at Hexter it's the little boys' restroom, to turn their shirt inside out. You know, but I'm just not putting up with any of that because it's not allowed.
Right.
And talking in line and talking on your phone and Lord knows if they're going to be some sort of poll watcher.
And I bet Patty Nixon stands single file.
I might. You just never know.
Tough.
I am tough. I buy the book. Mm-hmm. I buy the book.
We're just about out of time. We have exactly 1 minute. Greg Abbott and his lieutenant governor and
attorney general,
they've decided that marriage equality has not fully been decided yet, and they are now filing yet another case because what else do they have to do? And this one is to prevent Houston from paying benefits to married people
in Houston
that Houston will be paying out of Houston money because same-sex marriage.
Now, has the Supreme Court even said that they'll take this case?
No, it's not even there yet.
He just filed it this week. It has to go to a lower court. And I would assume if it's a challenge to the marriage equality case, it's going to go to the same court that that Vic and Mark won in. And he's not taking any garbage.
So it should be just thrown out.
Mm-hmm. It's a ridiculous waste of taxpayer money.
It is.
But of note, the Supreme Court of the United States has accepted a case as of Friday to review the HB2 in North Carolina. The plaintiff is a trans man, a trans teen, actually, in North Carolina, who just wants to use the restroom while he's at school, you know? Right. So,
well, for all of us at Lambda Weekly, I'm Dave Taffet here with LaRon Landis and Leigh Patty. I think we'll be back next week with Candy Markham.